Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are now in Siman Dalid, and we are going to come to a final finale of our many discussions of the past few weeks about different nationalities who want to convert to Judaism. And the Pesukim of the Torah tell us that they have to wait three generations for some, or forever for others, before they're actually, even after they convert, before they're allowed to marry into the regular Jewish population, like a Mitzri, an Edomi, an Ammoni, a Moavi. And what about a regular convert? Is there any limitation when a regular convert from any other nation, let's say, for example, from Russia, from the Philippines, from Mexico, from, South Dakota, wants to convert, are there any limitations as far as who they're allowed to marry? That's what we're up to. It's a one-line sif in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Tes, it's on the screen in front of you, Sha'ar kol ha'umos, all other nations other than those delineated in the Torah who are not allowed to join Klal Yisrael for a number of generations, Sha'ar kol ha'umos, all the other nations, La'acha sheniskeru, Hale hare elu ki Yisrael miyad. What a beautiful, concise, and pointed, and clear psak. Any other Jew, any other Gentile who converts, once the geirus is finished, they're kosher. We had a shaila, somebody in the neighborhood recently was going out, got a date, an older fellow got a date with a young woman, and found out somehow, he didn't know this, he was set up as assuming she was a balas tshuva, and found out that she was a geores in the middle of the first date. And he said, how long have you been, like, how long are you, he didn't know she was a Gioris, but okay, he's already out with her, he wasn't a young man. And how long have you been Jewish? So she said, a few years, whatever, 4 years, whatever, she said 4 years, 6 years. So he called me and said, you know, what should I make of the fact that, you know, I wasn't, you know, wasn't planning on going out with the GRS, but so I said, you know what, nothing wrong with it. Let me call a based in that region of the United States of America. So I happened to know the administrator in the regional Bezdin of that part of the country that this girl was from, and I called the person. I said, could you put me in touch with whoever does the GIUR in your area and see if you know this name? I told them the young lady's name, and they said, yes, we did do her GRS. So I said, okay, great. So could you just tell me, you know, when was this geirus done? This shaila that I got was about a month ago. They said, oh, we did the geirus Erev Pesach. That means she had not been a geir for 4 years or 6 years. She was a geirus for like, you know, a month and a half. So I told the fellow that, she's completely kosher to marry, but just keep in mind, she's a geirus for a month and a half. Not 4 years ago. Apparently, she had done an original gear with a conservative gear 4 years ago. So when the guy asked, how long are your gear? So she said, 4 years. So she's already been affiliated with Judaism for many years, but her halachic gear was much more recently. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, once somebody is megayer, they are ki Yisrael miyad, with all the rights, privileges, and duties they're under, and she is, or he is, permitted to marry any Jewish man, any Jewish woman, except maybe we saw a Kohen. Other than that, they could marry any other Jew or Jewess immediately. Now, what about, there's an acute question, maybe we'll see if it's Nogei L'maisa nowadays or not, but what about the Zayin Umos? Meaning, when Klal Yisrael took over Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua, they had a Chiyuv D'Oraisa to destroy all the nations who are inhabiting Eretz Yisrael at that time of Kibush V'Chiluk. What happens if you have a ger from those nations? Are you allowed to marry that ger, or are you not allowed to marry that ger? Do they have any other status? You know, Kini, Knizi, Girgashi, Yevusi, Emori, Plishti, all those nations, the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, are you allowed to marry those nations? So, interestingly enough, again, I don't know if you're going to marry a Plishti. I don't know, even if you have a Palestinian woman who decides to convert, you're allowed to marry her. I don't know if that's the Plishti of yore. I don't think the Palestinians nowadays are the same people as the Plishtim of the time of Kibush V'Chiluk 3,000 years ago. But if you would meet such a girl who's a plishti with a capital P, a real plishti, not a Palestinian, but a real plishti, a real Yavusi, a real Girgashi, a real Yavusi, whatever, says the Ber Hetev, interestingly enough, afilu zayin umos. You'd be allowed to marry her or him immediately, writes when they're begayer. They do not have the time limitation, the time restriction that an Mitzri and a Domi has of three generations. Nor do they have that the restriction that a ger from Amon Umoav, who can never marry a regular Jewish man or woman, and have to stay sort of, they could be Megayer, but they have to sort of stay in their own group, marry other gerim, marry mamzerim, marry pitzuadakas, marry people who are not the regular mainstream kahal Yisrael. But we see here that by Zayin Umos, no, they're not restricted. They could be open to marry anyone who they want once they're Megayer. That's the first point that I wanted to make in today's shiur. That's Sif Tes. We finished Sif Tes. Let's now go to Sif Yud. Sif Yud talks about a fascinating shaila. Let's say we have somebody who's Megayer from the region of Ammon, Moab, Edom, Mitzrayim, which are the four nations that the Torah says they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, into the regular. They could convert, they could become Jewish, but Mitzri and Edomi, you have to wait three generations to marry a regular Jewish boy or girl. Ammonium Moavi man is always going to be a male from the Ammonium Moav convert, will always be usher to marry a regular Jewish girl. What happens if you have a guy, an Egyptian guy, who wants to marry, who converts? Nothing wrong with that. We're happy to accept a convert from Egypt. Where was Edom? Edom is Jordan now, right? Jordan or Saudi Arabia? Rabbi Sonnenblick, could you help me with that? Where's Edom? Edom is in the south, east. Southeast of Eretz Yisrael is Edom. I think it's Jordan. I think it's right near the bottom of Yam HaMelech. You know, right across the Dead Sea is Jordan. I think it's Jordan, southern Jordan. So if you have a ger from Jordan, somebody wants to be a guy from Jordan, Bizman Hazeh, so is that an Edomite? An Egyptian guy wants to convert, is that a Mitzri? According to Torah law, Mitzri and Edomic are permitted to convert, but they have to wait three generations before they marry a regular Jewish girl or Jewish boy. So what happens Bizman Hazeh? Do we also have this three-generation time lag? Or if you have a male from Ammon or Moab, which is, again, northern Jordan, maybe Saudi Arabia, and again, we're happy to accept their convert from those nations if they're committed and they're true converts. We're happy to accept them. What happens if they choose to be Megayer? So the males, the Torah says, are not allowed to marry a regular, again, they're fully Jewish, but they're not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl for all the way down the line, for all of history. Afil Dor Asiri, Lo Yavo Bekal Hashem. They can't marry a regular Jewish girl for forever. I mean, again, they're allowed to marry. What's that? Edom would be Jordan. Okay, good. Like we thought. So, how do we deal with these psukim of Mitzria Domi Ammonium O'avi Bizman Hazeh? Basically, as I have here, as you see here in the red, what would be the halachas of Jordanian, Egyptian, Saudi Arabian, gay, and Bizman Hazeh? Now I realize that there are not so many Jordanian, people knocking on the Rabbanut's door. Not so many Saudi Arabians knocking on the Rabbanut's door to please, facilitate the gerus process. First of all, there's sometimes less, sometimes with Christians, the Christians are sometimes frustrated with Trinity and the definition of Trinity and their understanding of God with the Trinity. It's a very difficult theology to accept as true. So therefore, there are more searchers. At least Islam, they have a monotheistic religion. They believe in an all-powerful, infinite being, which is the same one we believe in. So, there's less pushing them maybe to become Jewish as far as theologically, because their theology is okay. Then they believe that they had this, prophet of Mohammed, and okay, if you makabel him, that's fine. So we don't, they do. But at least the fundamental foundation of the all-powerful, single, monotheistic being that they believe in. So I think they're not as much interested in Judaism, besides the fact that if they would convert to Judaism, their entire family, they would, and their families would probably be tortured and killed. But putting that aside, but that maybe not. Okay, so here we have we're going to go a little bit into a little bit of a tangent away from halacha and go a little bit into Jewish history. We're going to start with the Gemara in Brachos Chaf Ches Amud Aleph and then go through some psukim in Yechezkel and in Yirmiyah that talk about the history of some of the experiences that the Mideast encountered in the conquests of various governments, as you'll see soon. Okay, so first we're going to have a story that happened on that very fateful day that you know when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, and when he became Kareani Keben Shivim Shana and he was really 18 years old and he got the white hair. There was that very special day that until now Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, and then they wanted to depose, the Beis Din wanted to depose Rabban Gamliel that he should no longer be the Nasi and bring in a new Nasi. And that was, of course, the day that many takanos were made, and that was the day in which Meseches Edios was taught. Meseches Edios, as you might know, is not about any given topic, like any other Mesechta. It's not like any of the Bavas, which are Mamanis. It's not like Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, Makkah, Sanhedrin, that all have a topic. Edios was all the Mishnayos that were taught on that very special day when there was a transfer of power in the Beis Din, and whatever was taught on that day was Paskil Halacha in Maseches Edios. Tana, look in the... So this is a side point, what I have here in the blue. Edios bo bayom nishneis. Maseches Edios was taught on that very special day when there was a transfer of power from Rabbi Gamliel to Rabbi Yehoshua. V'chol heichad amrinim bo bayom, whenever it says in Mishnayos, or in Braisa, bo bayom, on this day they decided the following, that word bo bayom, hahu yom hava. They didn't leave any halacha unturned, in a sense, they didn't leave any stone unturned in the sense of leaving a halacha as, oh, we don't really know what to do. They dealt every halacha, there was a suffix, they took it heads on, they worked it out, they took a vote, and they came to a psak. There was no halacha that they didn't explain on that very special day. Even though Rabbi Gamliel was just deposed and was just thrown out of being the Nasi, nevertheless, he still participated in the halachic arguments. He was there the whole time, and now we could see the following story. That was just right. Meaning, even though you know, sometimes after somebody's deposed, they have it's sort of like a shul has a rabbi, and it's not just that the rabbi decided to retire, but the shul, you know, fires the rabbi, and the rabbi still, you know, comes to the shul dinner the next year after he's fired. It's a, yes, it's a shvach to Rabbi Gamliel that he came to continue to participate in the halachic discussions of the Beis Medrash, even though he was just thrown out of being the Rosh Yeshiva. So on that day, what shaila came to them? They had a very interesting shaila. Ditnan. Bo bayom, on that day, Ba Yehudi Ger Amoni Lifne. Yehuda, I'm sorry, his name was Yehuda. I assume it was his Jewish name. He was an Amoni, and I assume when he joined Klal Yisrael, he wanted to be called Yehuda. I don't think that was his original name. He had probably some nice, Ammonite name previously. So he came in front of the Beis Din, and came in front of the Beis Medrash. Ba Yehuda Ger Amoni Lifne Beis Medrash. Amar Lahem. Am I allowed to marry her? Again, I'm Jewish. I went through the Giyur, I went through the Beis Din, I tovah, I got my bris milah, I was mekabel mitzvahs, I'm a Jew. But am I allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl? Ma ani lavo bekahal. Well, what do you think the answer is? Isn't that a pasuk in the Torah? Of course not. Lo yavo amoni bekahal Hashem. Right? I mean, it's a pasuk in Chumash. But no, he's asking, but halach lemaisa can I? Amar lo Rabbi Gamliel, who was the previous Rosh Yeshiva, says, also at Talava Bakal, of course not. So Pasuk in Chumash says that an Amoni is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, which is Lava Bakal, meaning to marry a regular Jewish girl. You could find a wonderful Mamzer girl, you could find another Gioress, a wonderful Gioress, you could find another, if there are any other possible, a Shivcha who is freed. I'm sure there are wonderful Jewish girls available for you, but you can't marry a regular Jewish girl from regular Jewish lineage. However, Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua, the new Rosh Yeshiva, Mutar Ata Lava Bakal. Oh, so it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. So he wasn't the Rashi Shadek Sar Shiva, he was the Bar Plukta of Gamaliel. Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, you could. Amar Lo Gamaliel, what do you mean? It's a Pasuk in Chumash, my dear friend Rabbi Yeshua. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. V'alo Kfar Ne'amar, lo yavo Amoni ma'avi b'kal Hashem. Of course, you can't, an Amoni can't join Klal Yisrael. Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua responds, that's true in the time of Chumash. However, by our time period, we're talking in the time of the Tanaim, the Amon of today and the Moab of today, are they still, let me rephrase that, the Amon of yesteryear that the Chumash is referring to, the Moab of yesteryear to which the Chumash is referring to, are they still settling in their original locations where they were? Do you think the people in Amon today are the same nation of Amon that the Torah is referring to? The people in Moab in Jordan and in Saudi Arabia today, you think they're the same tribes, you see the grandchildren of the people who were there in the time of Matan Torah, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu that the Torah is referring to? After all, again, this is the famous line that you've been waiting for, Kfar Ola Sancheirev Melech Ashur Ubilbel Eskol Ha'umos. Sancheirev Melech Ashur, and he came, I assume Rabbi Sonnenblick could help me, this is the time of, around the time of the Churban, of the first Beis HaMikdash, that was the height of, what's that? Before Churban Beis HaMikdash, thank you, before the four... Okay, so 600 before the Common Era, you're saying? Okay, 600-700 before the Common Era, Sancheirev came, that's in the middle of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he was Mevalbel Eskul Ha'umos, as we have a Pasuk in... I think it's in Yirmiyah. I think it's in Yirmiyah. Do I have the pasuk here? Yeah. Or Yechezkel. So listen to this pasuk that talks about what Sancheirev did. Sancheirev, the pasuk says, Va'asir gvulos amim, I removed the borders of the nations. Va'asudosehem sosti. And their status, I don't know what sosti means, shoshti, I don't know what that word means. And their status, Rashi says, va'asido sehem, ma'amadam matzavam, their status, their position, I canceled. Va'orid kabir yoshrim, and I lowered the multitude of inhabitants. So what does this pasuk say? This pasuk basically says that the borders were taken away. If there are no borders, that means everybody was moved around. Everybody was shifted from place to place. We'll see exactly what Sancheirev did a little bit later. The Ramban will tell us more precisely. But simple reading of the Pasuk, as the Gemara records, is that Sancheirev took away the borders. Obviously, there was a tremendous, transfer of populations. And right, but I'm assuming this is talking about not Klal Yisrael. This is talking about the other nations of the region. We're talking now... Right, but is that when he moved the 10 tribes, was he moved the 10 tribes into Ammon and Moab? Okay, we don't know, fine. But either way, everybody was mixed up. Now, given that's the case, the Gemara concludes, that doesn't mean that there aren't some people who are left in their places. There might be some ancient Moabite man left in Moab. There might be some descendant of the ancient Ammonite man left in Ammon. So if you have that a ger from Ammon and Moab come to Klal Yisrael, there's still a miut that maybe he is from the original, and therefore maybe we should follow the din of Safik Daraisa, of him marrying a Jewish girl, l'chumra, concludes the Gemara, v'chol de parish miruba parish, that since, that even if there would be one descendant of the real Amon Umav, who is indeed in that same location, but since we have Rov, we'll follow the din of Rov. Rov of the people who now come from Amon are not the descendants of the real Ammonites. Rov of the Moabites in the present day Moab are not descendants of the original tribe of Moab. And therefore, this guy, Yehuda Ger Amoni, could come into not only could come into Klal Yisrael, but could marry a regular Jewish girl, because the Jews, the Moabites of today, are not the Moabites that the Torah is talking about, and therefore they're not subject to this pasuk. So all the pasukim, everything that we've learned for the past 3 weeks about all the halachas of Mitzri, of Edomi, of Moavi, Ammoni, basically, all those limitations do not apply bizman hazeh. That's what Rabbi Yeshua counters. Says Rabbi Gamliel, wait a second. Amar lo Rabbi Gamliel, you're telling me that Sancheirev was mevalbel all the umos, and therefore we don't know where anyone is from originally, where everyone's source, you know, is from? V'halok v'ar ne'ma v'achrei, the Pasuk says, v'achrei kein ashiv eshuas b'nei Amonim Hashem. We see that Hashem did return the Ammonite after they were sent, exiled by Sancheirev to other places. Hashem did bring them back. And this fellow happens to be from Ammon. So we see that Ammon did come back. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, no, there's another pasuk. V'halok v'ar ne'mar, v'shavti yeshvus ami Yisrael. There's another pasuk that says Hashem will bring Klal Yisrael back, and that hasn't happened yet. So too, when it says that Hashem will return Ammon to their place, that also has not yet happened. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua had the winning argument, and just as Klal Yisrael has not yet had its Geula, so too Ammon has not yet experienced its return to its borders, and therefore the Ammon of today, and this Ger from Ammon of today, is not the same from the Ammon in the time of the Chumash. And this is, again, in the time of the Tanaim, is not the same as the Ammon in the time of the Chumash. They said you can marry any Jewish girl you want. Basically, what we just found out, and this is Sif Yud, is that all the halachas of Mitzriya, Domi, Ammonia, Moavi do not apply at Bizman Hazeh because of Selcherev's population transfers. And we don't know who's who. Now, after we have that relatively clear Gemara telling us that this story, that anyone from Ammon, and if you have any Ger from Egypt, from Saudi Arabia, from Jordan, that whole area, you don't have to worry if that there might be from any of these other nations that are prohibited to marry, and they're allowed to marry any Jewish girl. Fine. The problem is, we have a pasuk. There's a pasuk. I'll show you two pasukim. First of all, there's a pasuk that says the following. There's a Gemara that says the following. Amon u'moav yoshvim b'mekomam. Gemara Megillah says, Amon u'moav yoshvim b'mekomam. Sounds like they weren't exiled. That maybe Sancheirev was mevalbel lots of other people, but there's a Gemara Megillah that says, Amon u'moav are in their same places. Furthermore, look at this pasuk. Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Sha'anan Moav. Does anyone know what the word Sha'anan means? I think it means placid, like Lake Placid, like very calm, no excitement, everything is the way. Excuse me. Sha'anan Moav. Moav is calm. Nothing's happened to Moav. Sha'anan Moav minurav vishoketu el shmarav. Moav is not shaken up. Lohu rak mi kli el kli. Moav was not poured from one kli to another kli, was not taken from one place to another kli. Uvagola lo halach. Moav was not sent into galus. Al kain amad tamo bov reichel an amad. Therefore, Moav's essence, Moav's style hasn't changed. Moav's the same type of people, the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, because they haven't gone into galus. So we have an explicit pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Moav has not been Miss Balbel, and Moav is not, you know, transferred, and Moav did not go into galus. But I thought we said just a minute ago that Amon and Moav, that Sancheirev was Mevalbel Kol Ha'umos, that presumably Moav as well. So you're telling me Sancheirev was Mevalbel the Umos, and I assume therefore there's no problem with Mitzriya, Domi, Ammoni, and Moavi, but then I have a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Moav apparently was never sent to galus. Moav did stay in its original place and its original position. Is that true? That Moav didn't go anywhere else, it seems like we have a stira. It seems like we have a stira. Whether all the nations were thrown out, and therefore you can't identify any person from their country now as a descendant of their previous inhabitants of that country. And here the pasuk in Yirmiyah seems to say that Moav is an exception. Moav is the same people now as were always. That they didn't. They never got sent into galus. So the Ramban in Yevamis, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, gives us a little bit of the history. And he explains through this explanation that we'll see how what happened when Sancheriv came? What happened when Nebuchadnezzar came? What did they do when they came to these countries and had these resettlement policies? And there's a discussion in Tosfos and Yevamos, which we're not going to go into, but the Ramban says the following: Hatov v'hanochem be'enai b'zeh ha'inyan hu shenomar Sancheriv bilbelas kol ha'olam. Now Sancheriv mamish messed up the entire inhabited world, the entire civilized world of the time. Sancheriv, again, I don't know if there were any Native Americans in what we call Indians in America. I can't say that Sancheriv was involved with those people. Were there people Incas and Aztecs in South America? I can't tell you if Sancheriv got to them. But at least in the entire Mesopotamia, in the entire Fertile Crescent, in the area of the known civilization of the European, Eurasian population, that Sancheriv was involved with everybody. But different peoples in different ways as follows. Look at bullet point number one. Mixas umos, some nations, hoimigala golas shlema. He lifted up a population, transferred them, and plopped them down somewhere else. Umoshivim be'eras acheretz. As the pasuk, the proof text for that would be, kamosh amar ad bo'iv lakachti eschem el eretz ke'artzachem. I gave you a different land, like your other original land. Meaning he just lifted them up and plopped them elsewhere. And what about the place that he just emptied out? Because he took a nation away from their homeland. He took a different nation, put them there. Umosh v'achirim be'eretz shekolom imenu. K'mosh ha'asa ba'aseres ha'shvatim. That's exactly what happened with the aseres ha'shvatim. Sh'nema v'yavo ha'melech ha'shur mi'bavel mi'kuz mi'aza. Whatever the pasuk is. That's exactly what he did. He supplanted, took aseres ha'shvatim away from their place and put other people in their lands. Fine. That's with some of the galios that Sancheriv was involved with. But in other places, he didn't have that strategy, that transfer strategy. Umiktas ha'amim, hayamashir bohem mitalas ha'aretz. He would leave some, like the vulnerable, the weak, the infirm, the dalasam, like the nebuchs of a part of the nation. The poor, okay. Umoshvi mohem mu'umos ha'cheros. And into that, whoever part of the population he would leave, he would import, part of a different population. And what happens with that? Then you have sort of like a mixing. Because, if you have a transfer, you take a nation, you take all of New Yorkers and put them in Wyoming, and all the Wyomingers and put them in New York, so New Yorkers are, still going to talk with a Brooklyn accent just in Wyoming. And the Wyoming are going to have their Western drawl just in New York. But this second thing is going to cause more of a melting pot. He left some people at home, and he brought other people into their same cities, and caused a different kind of mixture. He put other nations there. Therefore, between these two points, you had a very thorough mixing of humanity. Bein osan shagol legamrei, whether some were entirely transferred. Bein osan shnishol bahemei arts, and those who were here were also mixed. Either the people that stayed in there. Imagine you had a person who stayed in his land forever, and he wasn't transferred. He was that dalas ha'am who stayed in his land that was not transferred to a different place. But there was a new nation that moved in down the block, and there was obviously intermarriage and intercultural exchanges that happened. So a lot of the personality that, if you have an Indian reservation, a Native American Indian reservation in America, so if they live on their Indian reservation, they're going to stay Seminole, and they're going to stay Cherokee, and they're going to stay, like they were for hundreds of years. But if you take that Seminole tribe, anyone who's in Florida, you're in Miami Beach, you're in Miami or Aventura or Hollywood, Florida, they have that big Seminole area. If you take that big Seminole area and you put all the other Americans right nearby, there's a lot of acculturation that happens. So when you open up the gambling casinos because you're on a Native American reservation, then you open up the gambling casinos and allow all the other people to come in. So the Native Americans are not so Native American. They're very capitalistic, and they're very smart business people when given the opportunity for those mixtures. So what you have is you lose a little bit of that original identity of that nation. So what I'm saying now is a chiddush. What I'm saying about to say is that if it is that what Hashem said, I don't want Ammonis or Moavis or Mitzris or Edomis because they have a certain personality trait, that I don't want to enter Klal Yisrael? Isn't that what the Torah says? Lo yava amanim aviv asher lo kidma eschem alechem uvayayin alechem uvamayim. They were not good midos. I don't want people from these nations who have bad midos to enter Klal Yisrael. Well, if it is true, the way we're saying now, the way the Ramban is introducing to us, that there is a mixture of the populations, there's a diffusion of the cultures, the Mimela, they're not going to have the same midos, the same bad midos that this population once had, because it's been diffused, but dispersed. And therefore, we don't have to be worried about those same bad midos that the Torah wants to stay away from us, of the original Ammonis, the original Moavis, because they've been all smushed around. Fine. Continues Ramban to give us a little bit of a history lesson. Even though Sancheiriv's tactic when he would come to a country and conquer it was to resettle them, to move them around, Aval Nebuchadnezzar had a very different approach. Nebuchadnezzar's approach was to just destroy. He came to a land that he wanted to conquer. He didn't try to supplant or transfer. He just destroyed. He just killed. Now, that's in general. Comes the Ramban. And says that when it came to Ammon and Moav, it's a little more complicated. Because we saw that Sancheiriv did two things. He had two models. Well, sometimes he transferred complete populations. Sometimes he just introduced new populations into pre-existing areas. But when it came to Ammon and Moav, then Sancheiriv did something, a third thing. When it came to Ammon and Moav, he destroyed some of them. And that, says the Ramban, now we're coming to that pasuk that we are talking about. You remember we said earlier, I asked you the stira, I'm going to scroll up. You remember I asked you the stira, how could you say that Sancheiriv transferred everybody and he mixed everybody up? What do you mean? I have this pasuk in Yirmi that says that Moav never went into Gullus. Says Ramban, what does that mean? And this is going to be the answer to that question. What does it mean that that they didn't go into Gullus? They didn't go into Gullus because they were actually destroyed. This pasuk that I quoted to you, that they never went into Gullus, they had a calm, you know, history, they weren't sent to the Gullus, but they were destroyed. He destroyed the people of Moab. They didn't go into Gullus. They were just destroyed right there. What happens after they were destroyed? Sancheiriv introduced other people into those cities. So the people who live in Moab right now are new people. So, again, Moab, the people of Moab were never sent into Gullus. But that doesn't mean that the people of Moab now are the same people of Moab from hundreds of years ago. Because the people, they were not sent into Moab, but the original Moabites were not sent into Gullus. The original Moabites were destroyed. And since they were destroyed, new people were put into Moab. And therefore, indeed, anyone who's from Moab now, from Jordan or from Saudi Arabia now, is not going to be the same people who were originally there. And therefore, Lefika concludes the Ramban, a ger who nowadays comes from Eretz Bnei Amon and Moab will be mutl of a bakal, because again, it's not the same people who were there originally. But I will tell you something fascinating. Look at this last line of the Ramban. Says Ramban, La'asid lavo, when Mashiach comes, guess what? When Mashiach comes, that pasuk that we saw in the future, that you remember Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were arguing about a pasuk, that there's a pasuk that says Hashem says, I will return the Bnei Amon, and Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, but Bnei Yisrael won't return, so he didn't return Bnei Amon either? Well, if that's the case, when Bnei Yisrael will be returned to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have a Geula, Amon will also be returned to Amon. And what will happen at that point in history? When Ammon, the original Ammon, will be returned to their land, if at that point somebody would want to be Megayer from Ammon, even though we don't take Gerim in the time of Yom HaMashiach, but if they would be Megayer at that point, we'll know who's from, if they're actually from that original place, when they, now that they're being returned to Ammon, along with Klal Yisrael being returned to Eretz Israel, then they won't be able to have Gerim from Ammon marry any Jewish girls, because in the future, the Blessed Love, in the time of Yom HaMashiach, it will indeed be back to the original inhabitants of Ammon. So that's an interesting, tidbit of the Ramban looking at the future. Now we finished all of the background for the Sif in the Shulchan Aruch, and we have a very simple Sif who's basically going to say that all the halachas of these other nations of Mitzri, Adomi, Amoni, Moavi marrying into Klal Yisrael don't apply nowadays because Pasen the Shulchan Aruch, this is the next Sif which we're up to, Sif Yud Ha'idna, nowadays, Nisbalbul Kol HaUmah, so the nations have been discombobulated and mixed up. Lefikach Amoni, Moavi, Ve'edomi, Shneskairu, Mutarin, Lava, Bekal, Miyad. Why? Even if somebody is left, the Kobe Parish, Miruba Parish, Va'onutolim, Shume Rovu, Moshe Mutarim Yad, even if there is one random person who's still his family tracing themselves back, we could assume that any given person is probably Parish Minharov. Good. There's just one more line. If you noticed, when the Shulchan Aruch said the list of nations that whose halacha have changed and they're now allowed to yes marry in, he mentioned how many? Amoni, Moavi, Edomi. What did he leave out? There's a fourth nation that's not allowed to join Klal Yisrael. I don't remember who. Mitzri, right. It only says Amoni, Moavi, Edomi. What about Mitzri? So Shulchan Aruch says Mitzri is a little more complicated. And we'll see why, very easy, a simple point why. Ula Harambam, hu adin leMitzri. Mitzri also is Nisbalba, and a Mitzri convert could join Klal Yisrael, can marry a Jewish girl. Ula Harash, but according to the Rosh, Mitzri is still Bisura Omeid. The Mitzris of today are the same Mitzris of the Torah, and therefore if a modern-day contemporary Egyptian man or woman wants to convert, we'll accept them. But if they want to marry a Jewish boy or girl, we will not allow them to marry a Jewish boy or girl, even Bizman Hazeh. What happened? Ashur? Samcheyev didn't get to Mitzrayim? But okay. Okay, so let's see if the Pasuk in Yecheskel says what you're saying, or maybe the Pasuk in Yecheskel will tell us something a little bit different about the Mitzrim. Says the Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll give the background for this Beis Shmuel. The Mitzri, the Beis Shmuel just is explaining, you know, he's a commentator on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, what does the Shulchan Aruch mean that according to one opinion, the Mitzris of today are the same Mitzris of yesteryear? Mishum de l'mitzrayim nasan hakosav kitzva loshav achar memshana. Just like, you remember when Klal Yisrael went to Golus Bais Rishon, we went to 70 years for Golus and to Bavel, and then we came back 70 years later. Well, the same way we had a Golus for 70 years and came back, Mitzrayim also were sent out, but the Navi Yecheskel tells us that they also had a time in which they will come back. Look at this Pasuk in Yecheskel, these Pasuk in Yecheskel that talk about Mitzrayim also being sent out of Mitzrayim. V'haysa, says Yecheskel, there will be a time, Eretz Mitzrayim l'shmamal or charba. Eretz Mitzrayim will be destroyed. Why? Because they have this terrible attitude. V'yodu k'ani Hashem, Yan Omar, Yor Liv, Ani Asisi. That's the famous line about Paro, who says, I'm so great, I'm God, I made myself. That was the line that we talk about at the Haggadah about Paro's egotistical personal deification. Okay. So Eretz Mitzrayim, because they have this terrible attitude, is going to be destroyed. And no one's going to walk there for 40 years. Lo Sav Arbav, Lo Seishav Arbav Misham. No one's going to inhabit Eretz Mitzrayim for 40 years. And all the cities will be destroyed for 40 years. And I will spread the people of Mitzrayim, Bagoyim, I'll scatter them among the nations. And then, look at this pasuk. The Mamash sounds like a nevuah of Klal Yisrael. Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Mi Ketz Abim Shana, after 40 years, Akabes, that's Mitzrayim and Ha'amim. I will gather in the Mitzrayim from the nations, Asher Nafot Shah, where they were scattered, V'shavti, Yeshuas Mitzrayim, I'll bring them back. So even though Mitzrayim was sent into some kind of galus, was scattered among the nations, Hashem says, B'nevuah, that after 40 years they will come back. So the Rosh says, you have a Pasuk in Yecheskel that says that Mitzrayim, although they were scattered, will come back, and therefore the Mitzrim of today are the same Mitzrim, or at least the descendants of those Mitzrim, who were prohibited by the Torah when it says that a Mitzri until the third generation is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, a Jewish boy. So that's an incredible thing. So what we have here is these Pesukim in Yecheskel, according to the Rosh, I don't know what the Rambam does with this, And again, I don't have a great time frame for when this gullus of Mitzrayim will happened, and when the 40 years expire. I just don't know exactly the time frames. But it seems from this Pesukim in Yechezkel that Mitzrayim did come back. And therefore, according to the Rosh, certainly as passed in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mitzrayim of today are the Mitzrayim of yesteryear. And if you have a Mitzri who, right now, let's say you have a guy from Egypt, he works with the Israeli, he's an informant for the Israeli government, who knows what, and he likes his interactions with the Israelis, and he sees that they're honest, he sees that they're decent, he sees that they're humane, and he contrasts that with his own people, perhaps, and he says, I want to become Jewish, and he goes through the full Geirus process, we'll accept him, and now he wants to marry a Jewish girl, we will say, your grandson will be able to marry a Jewish girl, your granddaughter will be able to marry a Jewish boy, but you and your child are off limits. You can marry another ger, you can marry another gioris, you can marry a mamzer, you can marry a tzedaka, but you yourself will not be able to marry a regular Jewish boy or girl, and so to your son or daughter will not be able to marry a Jewish boy or girl. You have to wait for your grandchildren to have a regular Jewish chasana. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's how the Shulchan Aruch quotes this opinion of the Rosh about nowadays Bizman has that, which is absolutely fascinating. But if that's the case, that the Mitzri from nowadays is the same Mitzri as previous generation, that means that when the Torah says, I don't want you to live in Mitzrayim, that means Mitzrayim of today, you can't live in Mitzrayim of today either, because Mitzrayim of today is the same people as Mitzrayim of yesteryear. Therefore, the Beis Shmuel ends up, in which case, Eich Dar B'Mitzrayim. How do people live in Mitzrayim nowadays? So I don't want to get into that. It's just something to think about. But that's an interesting point. Fine. The Rambam would sign his letters. I'm Moshe Ben Maimon, who is violating three mitzvahs of the Torah. I want to finish off today with one interesting... We're basically finished with the whole discussion that we've had for the past month about Geirim from other nations joining Klal Yisrael, so who's allowed to marry. I have one very interesting question that I saw in the Masifta Gemara raises this question, gives an interesting answer, which I think is a very, very, very fascinating question. We know that there's a machlokas if we're choshin on lemiut. We paskin, of course, that we follow Rav. But there is an opinion of Rabbi Meir who says we're choshish for miut, that you can't just follow Rav. We're worried. We're also worried about the miut. According to that opinion, every ger who comes into Klal Yisrael, right? Selcheir was mevalbel kulo omos. That means in the world, around the world, there are some Ammoni people, maybe living in Far Rockaway. There are some Moavi people, maybe living in Staten Island. There are some Edomi people, maybe living in, Miami. There are some Mitzri people, maybe living, I don't want to get into Mitzri because we saw that's even more problematic. But you have Stam Gerim all over the place. And if you have a Ger come join Klal Yisrael, maybe they're from that mute of those populations, of Ammoni, of Moavi. And according to Rabbi Meir, that we're choshish for miut, we should not be allowing any ger to marry any Jewish boy or girl, according to that opinion, which is somewhat absurd, if you're choshish for a miut. So that's what I if you look at that question here that the Masifta raises. What? You're saying it's not even a miut. Okay, you're saying good svara. I like your svara. You're saying there's a miut, but something is so diluted over 1,000 years with intermarriage, it just disappears. Yeah, I hear. I like what you say. You say a miyut de miyut, even a mayor shouldn't be worried about. But I'll present. Oh, that's great. Baruch Hashem. I'll show you this question. Hikshom mefarsh l'Rabbi Meir hasov shechoshishim l'miyut. The top paragraph. Tzorich lesor is called geir lov b'kol. Kevin shebilbil samcheres amon u'moav bein kol u'mos. If all the nations have been scattered and mixed together, mishtarayin. Tzorich lachshash b'chol ger shem min hamiyutu. Apparently, the Yishalmi asks this question. In Tamai, apparently. Look at the bottom paragraph. Yesha Tirtzu. that he's going to say an interesting svara. You remember when it comes to mamzerim, which we're going to learn soon, in the next few weeks, we're going to be learning mamzeris. When it comes to mamzerim, there's a puzzle that says mamzer vadai, velo mamzer safek, that we only consider a mamzer to be aser if it's a vadai mamzer. So maybe, when the Torah says amoni, it only means amoni vadai, velo amoni safek. When it says mo'avi, it only means mo'avi vadai, velo mo'avi safek. And therefore, if it's a mamoni, it's an amoni. But if it's a miut, you don't have to be worried. Even Rabbi Meir, who's choshed for the miut, that maybe somebody is a descendant, but if he's not a vadai, then the Torah already excludes it by saying amoni, meaning only a definitive amoni, not somebody who may or may not be an amoni, not amoni safik. That is the end of this sugya. We have concluded the sugya of marrying gerim, and we're, Bezus Hashem, next week going to have two seifim about marrying avadim. We'll do that in 1 week, and then after that we're going to get into mamzerim, and the next week in a discussion of avadim it's going to be a very fascinating discussion, because it gets also into the sugya of kadesha, of premarital relationships, that also is going to have to do with the discussion of avadim, with also some contemporary issues. And Bez Hashem, I will see you all next week. Everybody should have a wonderful week.